changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
We're continuing our conversation about how to win friends and influence people by Dale Carnegie, which is a blueprint for how to not have arguments, how to get along with other people, and how to really just make ourselves more of an attractive person around other people. Now, that doesn't sound, that can sound bad, but we want to be attractive. We want to attract other people. That is why we do things from, you know, bleaching our teeth to making sure I don't have stubble on my head. Those are things I do to make myself look more attractive. Everyone does some stuff to make themselves look more attractive. But then the stuff that we present to the world, how we present ourselves, how what we say, our intonation, whether or not we smile, we leave up in many cases to reactions from other people. We wait to see how other people greet us. And a lot of people approach Monday that exact same way. What's going to happen on Monday? Ah, there it is. And they do the same thing with other people. We do the same thing with other people. And what we want to do is to begin to present the best of ourselves. And that's why I chose, for many reasons, to dedicate a dozen or more jumpstarts to this one book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I say that because I often recommend books, and I know that people either don't read or they're busy reading other things, or they'll add that to their list and may or may not get to it. And I like to have the opportunity to synopsize important books so that I can also be reminded of the books and the principles within the book. So today we're going to talk about how to be a great conversationalist. Now, for many, 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 many years, I would have defined myself as a great conversationalist. I was a conversationalist socially the same way I was when I sold. I was a salesperson. Remember, I sold radio advertising for a long time. Then I sold Yellow Page advertising. I sold cell phones. It shouldn't surprise you, just from hearing me speak, that I was a person who sold things. I would go up and talk to people and explain the benefits of my products or try and analyze what was going on for them. What I discovered was that when I very first got into sales, I struggled. I got in with such high hopes, and the station manager knew that I could talk to people, and I would go out and talk, but I never closed any deals. I remember to this day sitting down with him, and it was 6 months in, and I was still drawing a little draw of money. I think it wasn't much. And I was drawing it, but I knew that I was going to get fired, et cetera, et cetera. And I went and talked to him, and the way he put it was, you know, you seem to be able to get a lot of people up to the horse, but nobody wants to get on. Nobody wants to ride. And I remember that analogy, and I thought, wow, he is so right. And I sat down and I analyzed what I was doing, how I was talking to people. And I bought a cassette by Zig Ziglar. And in it, he said, what did he say? You probably know the quote. It's his most famous quote. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I was walking in with this, let me tell you why you need to advertise on our radio station. Let me tell you what we can do for you. Let me tell you about what we've done for other people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And instead, I chose the principle of becoming what Dale Carnegie would say is a great conversationalist. By that, I began to ask questions over and over. My method was not to tell them about us, not to tell them my ideas, but to ask them questions. One time when I was selling advertising for KSEA FM in Seattle, Washington, which is not even there anymore, they brought in a sales trainer, and he talked about people having what is called telling tension, that everyone has what he called telling tension. When we go up to people, our minds begin to race, and it's like inflating a tire, and we think about things that we want to say, and so we begin to think about all these things, and it builds up a tension inside of us that makes us want to share things that are coming up. That is called telling tension. And I realized then that people have this telling tension, and one of the best ways to extract it is to begin to ask questions. And asking other people questions is one of the greatest ways of valuating, showing, giving value to the other person. It shows that you care, that you're willing to ask, that you're willing to listen. And so for so many years, I still caught myself as a manager, et cetera, in meetings. I would always have to be the one that came up with the great idea that solved the situation or whatever, instead of just continuing to ask questions and sometimes holding on to my opinion until I had given other people a chance to express theirs. It was liberating for me because my dad struggled, I think, with just casual connections with people. And he certainly struggled with deep, long-term connections. And it was a lot I noticed that my dad didn't listen for content when someone was speaking. My dad listened for setups. And I don't mean setups so he can say, oh yeah, and that's the way a lot of people listen. My dad listened so he could tell a joke. Anything that he could weave into the conversation, which would then all of a sudden make the conversation shift to him, he would do. It was, my father wasn't aware of the fact that he did that, but he did that. And you could see almost the desperation in him. It's like in BoJack Horseman, when BoJack Horseman says, why are all these people talking and none of them talking about me? That was my dad. And so my dad was always about trying to get attention on him by interjecting something. When we do that, yes, we get attention. And the other thing is, we get attention. That is actually a more uncomfortable place to be. It's far more comfortable to begin to just engage and ask the other person. For so many years, I hated going to parties because I thought, okay, I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about that. And I'm going to tell them I'm doing this and I'm going to, you know, engage in this, but I'm going to make sure we don't go too deep into this thing or whatever, because it's political or personal or whatever. But I would go to parties with all this stuff. I almost said the S word to talk about. And now I go with questions. Who am I going to talk to? What am I going to ask them? You know, first thing I'm going to do is acknowledge something about that person. I like your hat. I like your hair. I like your shoes. Women love to have their shoes commented positively on. Men love to have like their shirts and things like that, I've noticed. And that's not universal. I'm just saying that you comment nicely and you ask people questions. And then when they speak, you just listen for an opportunity to spin in another question. You take in the content, and then you want to do something along the lines of tell me more. And then all of a sudden, you are a brilliant conversationalist. One of the most famous people alive back when Dale Carnegie wrote this book was Lowell Thomas, and he actually represented Lowell Thomas for many years. And Thomas was a writer, a speaker, he was on television, he was just a larger-than-life figure. And he told the story about going to a party with a bunch of social elites in New York City. Lowell Thomas tells the story, or Dale Carnegie tells the story as told by Lowell Thomas. And so Thomas is at this party, and this woman comes up to him, and he had just gotten back from a safari in Africa, I think. And she says words to the effect of, "Oh my gosh, I want to hear all about your trip to Africa, and tell me what you saw, tell me, et cetera, et cetera." And as they began to sit down, she immediately instead began to talk about herself. I, me, me, me. And he realized, well, actually, the punchline to this is, as he was leaving, he went up to the host of the evening, and the person said, "I was just talking to this woman, and she said, you are the greatest conversationalist." And he said, "I realized I didn't say anything, really. I didn't contribute. I just kept asking questions." Now, we can go home with our own version of telling tension, or we can try and spread it out during the evening. I find that you'll still get an opportunity to say everything that's on your mind. I also find that many times what I think is important to share with other people when I get together turns out not to be. There's something else more important going on in their life. And when we focus on another person, we become less self-obsessed. And as a result, we become happier. So today, try being a great conversationalist. Ask questions. Ask as many questions as you can. I once read that the reason Tim Cook is a far better CEO of Apple than Steve Jobs is, of course, he took everything Steve Jobs did. But Tim Cook is not an emphatic person. He's a questioning person. If there's a problem, he doesn't say, "This is how we answer it." His most common thing that he sends out to his executive team is the word "thoughts" with a question mark at the end. He then gives them the power to resolve it. He doesn't have to worry about every little thing. And the same is true when we get in social situations, just ask questions. I've begun to do that more and more and more with my neighbors, and I'm connecting more and more deeply with my neighbors. So today, practice being a great conversationalist. Ask questions. Thanks, everybody, for joining me today. We're going to continue talking about how to win friends and influence people tomorrow. Remember today to ask questions. Enjoy today. We'll talk tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.